Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. We've studied through, actually we've studied through 11, but I want to start back up under in verse 9. The first part of the book was the horses, the four horsemen of the Acropolis. But in verse 9, he opens the fifth seal. And I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Again, remember the word slain there is the word sphazo, which means they were sacrificially slain. And that's why it's so critical that you understand that if you present yourself as a living sacrifice, according to 12:2, then you have been sacrificially slain along with those that have been actually martyred. And so the whole point of any of the gifts of the Spirit, which is, remember, we're talking about, is that they cannot be placed on flesh. And so the only time the gifts of the Spirit become manifest is when after you have been sacrificed. You have presented yourself as a living sacrifice. So none of the gifts of the Spirit can be legally applied to the flesh. They can only be applied to the mystery of God. You got it? There's not one example in the Scriptures where a disciple was healed. That's because they were all healthy. No, they weren't all healthy. Look at Paul. Because the whole healing became a meaningless kind of thing to a disciple. The whole point of healing was to be, and it happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying it doesn't happen like it happens at the healing crusades. And it doesn't happen the way you think you want it to happen. We'll get to that later. But anyway. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were sacrificed for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell in the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a while, for a little while, or a little season, until their fellow servants, also their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now, the reason it says killed, the word killed there is a normal word for killed. If I went out and murdered you, then you would have been killed. But the critical issue is, it's the word they were killed as the ones under the altar were killed, were sacrificed. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Peace. And when I beheld, verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Now the sixth seal, is the opening of the seal is the beginning of the final judgment. But the final judgment is always going on because we live in the judgment day. We'll see more evidence here that the judgment day began when the sun was darkened on Passover when Christ was crucified. And remember, you see this thing all the time where the sun is darkened and the moon is turned to blood. Well, remember, Passover always happens on a full moon. And so when the sun was darkened, the full moon would have still been up. But because of the way the sun being darkened, the light passing through the atmosphere of the earth, the moon would have had that peculiar blood red orange color. So both of these were fulfilled when the sun was darkened when it wasn't supposed to be darkened, and the moon turned to blood. Those two statements are in Scripture all over the place, in Isaiah and Ezekiel and Joel. But in anything that I can see, they all concern themselves with that thing, that what happened on that day.
Was that prophecy? In Isaiah and Ezekiel and Joel?
Yeah.
Oh, and the moon shall be turned blood.
The sun and the stars shall stop giving their light. Then that's happened. They've stopped giving their light of revelation. It's already happening. You got to get. It's happened. It's always happening.
Back in 1986, we were teaching a certain point with this. And I started feeling really bad and depressed and all that, so I went home and got high and made myself feel better by saying, "Well, nothing's going to happen until the moon turns red." And this giant full moon came up that was just as red as it could possibly be.
And your altered state that freaked you out.
Okay, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Now, in other places, in the same thing, it talks about this thing where the stars and the moon and the sun have stopped giving their light. Here it uses it, it's as though they fell into the earth. Well, isn't that what has happened? What's the matter, Gary? Huh? Chapter 6. Revelation.
Book of Revelation.
Revelation?
Right. Not Revelations. You were in the book of Revelations. Everybody's back to the same place at the same time. In one place of one accord. Okay, remember, you got to hear this. When Israel left Egypt, they had a particular mark on the staff of each one of the leaders of the 12 tribes. And each one of the 12 tribes, they had their sign, that tribe's sign of the zodiac. And that defined how they encamped in the wilderness, and it defined how they proceeded and a whole lot of other things. And we've lost a whole lot of that. We don't know it. We can't find it. But we do know with a certainty that the revelation from the signs of the zodiac or the constellations or the Maseroth were well known in the ancient times. This is why the Tower of Babel was built, so that they could rise above the cloud and always see the signs of the zodiac. Now, originally, the signs of the zodiac showed the lot of the universe. How many tapes do we have on the But I mean, and there's no doubt about it. Then the denigration of the mystery started. Then it began showing the signs of the king. Then it began showing the signs of the nation. Then it began being all confused. And now today it shows the sign of your self-realization. It's the denigration that has happened to every instrument of revelation, including the Bible, including the alphabet, including the Great Pyramid, including the Sphinx, including the signs of the zodiac. They all originally said the same thing. Now the sun, this light from the sun, the sun, the moon, and the stars and the constellations are no longer giving their light of revelation. So it's as if they fell into the earth as a fig in the untimely season. Does anybody believe me? Well, you believe me because you sat through jillions of tapes on it, or sessions on it.
It's also the same as saying that they fulfilled their purpose.
That's right. They fulfilled
when Christ came. So.
That's pretty wild to think about how the entire tribe of Israel are kind of on the same page with the stars. I mean, that's how they communicated, I suppose, with each other, even knowing where they're supposed to go, when and why.
Well, in the movement across the wilderness in those 40 years, they encamped and moved, and by which sign of the zodiac that was on the staff of the leader of that tribe, of the 12 tribes. If you don't hear this, then you're going to go running around, and all this will be prophecy. It's something that's going to happen in the future. It's like those slain under, that they're slain or sacrificed for the word of God, they're under the altar, but they're talking, saying, "How long, O Lord?" So it's got to mean something. I mean, I heard Fred Price, or one of those guys, gave a speech to prove that heaven was on earth. And he did this whole, and this is one of the scriptures he used. And it just makes me crazy. I don't know why I listen to those guys. All right, can you at least have a sense? I'm not asking if you're really interested. There's about 45 tapes down there. If you're really interested, there's a book called The Maseroth, which is the meaning of the constellations that was lost forever until it's now available. It's on the web somewhere, but... And it really speaks to all these things, and it refers to all of the scriptures in all over the place, in Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Psalms and the Proverbs, where it talks about the signs of the constellation, the signs. Now watch. Now the archangel is going to go study the Maseroth because it's fun, and he's not going to have to face his own death. This is why bananas, I got so tired of the inordinate curiosity of bananas that I stopped teaching about these things, because it became the reason that people came to bananas, because they wanted to hear ooh-you stuff about the pyramid or about the Sphinx or about the signs of the zodiac, instead of picking up the cross and dying to themselves.
I had a connection. Directly connected with the martyrs, that they are our ancestors. Is what has.
They not only our ancestors, they're our living brethren.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But their sacrifice pertains directly to our existence.
Okay, well, I want to talk a minute about. This is the one that you have to hear. Forget the stars and the signs of the zodiac and all that crap for a minute. I want you to hear this. The first thing that happened when the sixth seal was opened was a great earthquake. Now the word earthquake is translated, it's the Greek word seismos. And it means shaking, and it's translated as shaking, as trembling, as tempest, as earthquake. All the time when the New Testament uses the word seismos, it's translated for some reason these different ways. This isn't a great earthquake that's going to like crack up the universe. This is a shaking of all things, that it has to happen in you as it will in earth. It has to shake up and cause to be removed anything that doesn't stand and isn't based on the foundation, the rock. So that, and this God, this great earthquake is always happening. This, it's always, somebody is always being shaken, so that only that which is unshakable will remain. Now, I'm not trying to pick on, Michael's mad at me now, because, you know, again, you can get off on studying OU stuff, and it's a way of avoiding the dying and death of self. And it's just inordinate curiosity that has absolutely nothing to do with the revelation of Christ. But I saw this in living proof for about 4 years with bananas. Oh, everybody wants to. I want to come and see. I want to study and see this new stuff. Well, you might as well go see Benny Hinn and get a new revelation.
Well, the new Benji.
The what?
The new Benji. It's a movie about a little dog.
Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Don't worry about the ooey stuff until the shaking has occurred in you and you no longer give breath to anything except the living God. There's no more attempt to try to understand with that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. This is written to them who were slain for the word of God, who are hidden under the altar. It's not written to satisfy inordinate curiosity. Are you here? You're looking at me and you're shaking your head, but your mind's somewhere else.
Well, I'm here, absolutely. I'll tell you what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know.
It has to do with Michael, since we're picking on Michael. He was talking yesterday about his mountain bike experiences. The last two times he's been out to ride his bike, flat tire and chain brakes. But when you're talking about the shaking of everything, it made me think about that story you told yesterday. You know, everything and everybody is being shaken all the time, because when your focus becomes something other than revelation, God's mercy, His grace,
I used to say that if once you've heard this and you ignore it, God's going to kill your dog, your pussy cat. He's going to mess up everything because he's interested only. He's not interested in your having some kind of a spiritual revelation. He's interested in your death, so that which is all revelation can be revealed. It can only be revealed by your death. You mad at me? You understand? You know, I could start talking about the meaning of the Sphinx or the pyramid, and everybody, right, I'm going to write down that. I'm going to write down that book, and I'm going to read that. That'll give me life. I can go tell somebody I saw a new thing. There isn't anything new. You've heard me say a million times, if it's not 2,000 years old, it's crap. If you don't think I believe that, then we need to have a chat. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's look at the shaking a minute. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Just take a left for a few pages. It's talking about the first, the middle, well, it's the whole part of Romans 12 is heavy duty, but at the end here, I mean Hebrews 12, excuse me. Now it says we are not come on to Mount Zion, but that shakes and quakes, and that you couldn't look at it and all that. But verse 22, you are come unto the real Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Again, this is the first thing you have to hear. We're not coming onto anything that is made. We're not even even the, or can be seen. We're not coming onto the Mount Zion. We're not coming to the Jerusalem that is, which Revelation calls Sodom and the whore. We are come onto this new thing that can't be seen. It can't be sensed. It can only be apprehended by faith. And it, and you can't apprehend it. It must apprehend you. And it's the same mystery. This is the egg, the mystery, the mother of us all. This is what each sperm cell has to enter into in order to be consumed so that there's a new creature. I don't know what turn, what got me all hot. I don't understand this. You are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that speaketh on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now, and again, it's the word seismos. His voice didn't earthquake the earth, it shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And it says elsewhere, therefore his ministers are also a consuming fire. Now, everything that you hold dear has to be shaken. If it's not, you're not part of the kingdom. Every value system, every idea, every thought has to withstand. So only that which is not subject to time will remain. That's why blasphemy is a technical word. That it denies the foundation. We blaspheme the name of God any time that we give importance to something that denigrates or changes with time. It's the proof that we're not loving the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. So every single time, if you get upset because something doesn't happen the way you think it should happen, if you could see and hear with the eyes and ears of the Spirit, you would see that if you are upset because of that, you're blaspheming the name of God. And you are then become a reprobate, one incapable of repentance, because your foundation is something other than the singular rock that doesn't move with time.
Where heaven is shaken, is that because we take things into heaven having the keys? I mean, we would bring things into what would be heaven that have no relevance to eternity. Try to make life out of them. That's why you shake.
Well, I mean, again, the word heaven is a strange word. It just means that which is above. And it doesn't, I mean, the skies can be the heaven. That's why when you have to enter into the third heaven, which is eternity, you got to go through time and then space without regard to time, and then finally you get to no time and no space.
It probably means it's just not only Earth is being shaken like you might possibly misinterpret this as meaning just an earthquake. It's the whole universe is going to be shaken.
Anything in time and space is shaken. So that, because nothing, you can't shake anything that's in the third heaven that Paul visited.
Shake it, but it won't shake.
Nothing can disturb it. Nothing can enter it except that which proceeded from it. You're being distracted again. This is real critical. I'm not, you know, that's why I just got, I'll be very frank, I got bored with bananas. There's just a bunch of people that came to, they wanted to come and hear me speak. Well, that's just goofy. And when they hear me talk about stars and pyramids, I'm not interested in anybody that wants to come and hear me speak. Does anybody doubt that? There's a lot more here. But I'm going to surprise Joysanna and save a couple of rollover minutes. I want everybody to tell her. Anybody have any other response? Can you? What I want you to take away here is that this shaking is always going on, and you're constantly trying to find a place of refuge where you won't get shaken. The purpose of Bible study is to destroy the refuge of lies so that you will be naked and unashamed. Not running around hiding what you're thinking. And now that's just hiding from the Category 1 earthquake or the 0.1 on the Richter scale. And I get a kick out of these guys that are saying that the fulfillment of Scripture is because there's now more earthquakes than there ever has been. Well, that's not true. There's been 150,000 earthquakes a year, at least, on the earth, ever since time began.
Yeah. I told you I saw that chart somewhere in some magazine that showed all the recorded, you know, and it just looks like it's just the same.
It's the same.
It's like it's not increasing or it's not, can't be that.
99% of the earthquakes can't be felt. 99.99. And that's why when we set up monitoring systems, our job was to try to tell the difference between an earthquake and an underground nuclear explosion. And we had, so in order to do that, we had to find, in order to set the seismometers, we had to find the bedrock that went really deep so that it wasn't affected by any noise of the any shaking of cars or people or wind. And that's why we had to go to these god-awful places like mountains of Afghanistan and the mountains of Korea and mountains in Mindanao. I mean, all over the world. To find the base rock that we could set up the seismographs on. And then we had to figure out all of these stupid different ways to try to tell the difference between an earthquake and an underground nuclear explosion. Because the Soviets put their test site in a seismically active region. Right. So did the Chinese. So did the French, for that matter. But that's another story. French have never been our friends. Why?
Must have been great fun. Hey, back
up. What were you going to say first?
He said it must have been a blast.
I didn't mean
anything. Oh, yeah. But you didn't say that on purpose.
No. No, I mean, it was for me at that time, it was the best. I mean, it was probably the only thing that I could have been put into to not be a criminal. Because it satisfied this need for adrenaline rushes all the time.
I'm going to say this morning's meeting is like preparation for Yom Kippur, right? Everything has to be shaken.
That's why we're studying the judgment.
Yeah.
So that on Yom Kippur, you can express the Kol Nidre with great confidence and at the kol nidre, the annulment of vows, will go so far deep that even the vows that you're not aware that are even vows, like your definition of things, the way things should be, is a vow, can be destroyed. So only that which is unshakable will remain. There's nothing, there's no value system, there's no anything that you think the way something should be can't stand that definition. And every one of those ideas, thoughts, images, ways of doing something, way you think you should be, any of them, are all vows to God. And they all have to be destroyed. And so would somebody ask, Carolyn, would you make sure that the Yom Kippur memo, I can't say it. Yom Kippur memo goes out in the next day or two. Anybody else? This always seems like it's I pick on either Michael or Harry or Gary. How come?
Because a lesser man would
crumble.
Cry and
a lesser man would crumble. The rest of them are just like delicate flowers.
This is more like a donkey that you have to hit with a
You've used up your rollover
minutes. I'm not really. I was done. I was done at 5 minutes till.